This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
Over the 50-year history of The Book in the Spade, which will be officially marked next February, we have discussed hundreds of biblical archaeology discoveries. Some discoveries were later determined to be fraudulent, and it's an open question about some others. So, the most important discovery in biblical archaeology over the past 40 years? That's a subjective question. Different archaeologists would probably give us lots of different opinions. But a few years back, when we talked with journalist Jeff Sheeler about his book, Is the Bible True?, he identified one major recent discovery as a eureka moment in biblical archaeology. This discovery was, in his words, a perfect example of what archaeology can do to debates over the veracity and historicity of the Bible. Overnight, it turned the arguments of skeptics on their ear. Up to that point, there was no reference to David outside the Bible. Lo and behold, they discovered there was this inscription that mentioned David, and it wasn't in the writing of Jewish scribes, but written by an enemy of Israel. Well, it's called the Tel Dan inscription, or the House of David inscription. We mentioned it in our last program when we featured our meeting with archaeologist Avraham Biran at the gate of Tel Dan. That meeting was in 1992. Then, just a year later, this amazing discovery at that very site in the news headlines around the world. I called Professor Biran at his office in Jerusalem, and he told me the story of the discovery of the Tel Dan inscription.
I was saying that many years ago, when we began the excavations of Tel Dan, we came across a stone pavement which led to an Israelite gate, which we dated to the middle of the 9th century BCE, and maybe ascribed it to King Ahab. Then we found out that the pavement continues eastward, and in due course we found yet another gate, which we called it the outer gate, which also enclosed a square where we found the canopied structure with that beautiful decoration bait.
And that's where we sat and talked the last
time.
That's
where we sat and talked, correctly, where we were the elders, and maybe we said that's where the king sat when he wore these garments, you know, royal garments. Then we found on the top of the mound yet a third gate. So we have already three gates, all of them to the Israelite period, within a span of about 100, 150 years. Now, outside the outer gate, we had uncovered years ago the beginning of a pavement, which we thought we will now continue and extend it further. Along with the work of restoration, which is being done at Dan, what you have not seen since your visit, that the city walls of the Dan of the 9th century are now some 25 feet high. And the towers of the gates are also quite high and very noticeable. But the outer gate in front of that is another pavement. And we were wondering how large it will be. Now we uncovered it to all its width, and it's about 400 square meters. It's a huge square in front of the outer gate. That didn't make sense in a way, because then at the very edge of that, which is something we didn't anticipate, we found another gate. At the eastern side of this pavement, a number of walls, we are still trying to figure out the relationship between the walls and which one belongs to the pavement itself and which one was perhaps before that. And in the stones of one of these walls of secondary use was the stone, which was just like any other stone among them. But fortunately, at a certain particular moment in time or in the day when the sun shines and the rays of the sun were hitting that stone in a proper angle, we noticed that they were writing.
So this was in a secondary use then?
It is definitely in secondary use. And it's a broken piece of a larger stela. There are some 13 lines, none of them complete. What you have is the edge of the stone where the lines begin. But how they finish and how they continue, we don't have.
Do you think there's a chance you can find the rest of the stela?
We've been looking for ever since then, turning every stone, looking all times of day so that the sun will illuminate it. But so far, we haven't found it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. What you have been doing at Dan most recently is just preparing the site for visitors.
But at the same time, whenever we have to, we carry out the archaeological excavation. And that's how we found the outer gate. And that's how we found the fact that above the near the pavement going up to the upper gate, we have also evidence of occupation of the Iron Age, which we did not know beforehand.
Okay.
So ostensibly, we were doing restoration work, and Italian new chapters are opening up and with knowledge about that.
How much later was this construction where the portion of the stele was in secondary use?
Ah, that is a big question. If we are right in the assumption that this is a stele erected by the king of Damascus after the battle between Baasha, king of Israel, and Asa, king of Judah, then subsequently that's when it was broken and incorporated maybe 30, 40, 50 years or 100 years later in the construction of the secondary wall.
Well, this sounds like the biggest discovery of the year as far as we can tell back here.
Some people say it's the discovery of the century.
Yes, it's... Well, I mean, it is the first mention of David from outside of the Bible, is it
correct,
not?
Correct, correct. And the expression Beit David, House of David, is the one that's very significant. And neither do you have a reference to Melech Yisrael, to King of Israel. That's also for the first time to the best of my knowledge.
Well, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
My pleasure. Good luck to you. Give my very best to Scoville.
Professor Avraham Biran telling the story of one of the most important discoveries in biblical archaeology over the past 40 years, as he related in a Book and a Spade interview by phone from Jerusalem in 1993. Israel Broadcasting provided more information on the discovery in this interview with Helga Abraham.
The fragment belongs to the 9th century BC, when the 12 tribes were split between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, which followed the dynasty of David. The discovery of the fragment has excited scholars around the world, for as explains Professor Biran, it represents the first royal inscription to be found in Israel and the first mention of the House of David outside of the Bible.
It's quite an amazing discovery because, for some reason or other, there are very few inscriptions found on excavations. We've been working at Tel Dan for 27 years. Now, we found a few shirts with some writings on them, names like Amots, names like Zechariah. We found one Greek and Aramaic inscription which mentions to the god who is in Dan. But to find a part of a large stela, probably 3 feet high and possibly 6 feet wide, inscribed in perfect calligraphy, two words in Hebrew, Beit David, the house of David. Now, Beit David is the dynasty of David, referring to the kingdom of Judah, and the letter before Beit David is a chaf, which is the last letter of the word Melech, king. In other words, there's a reference here to a king of Israel, king of the northern kingdom, a king of Judah, a king of the house of David. Now, that has never been found before.
Who would have written this inscription?
There are many conjectures. For me, who is acquainted with the Bible, and for any student of the Bible, all you have to do is read the book of Kings, the first book of Kings, chapter 15. And there is a very clear story told, or information given, of a king of Israel by the name of Baasha, who attacks the king of Judah by the name of Asa, and apparently has the upper hand. And in his despair, the king of Judah sends messages to the king of Aram in Damascus, to Ben-Hadad, and he also takes all the treasures from the temple and from the palace and sends them to the king of Damascus and says to him, I'm sending you these gifts. Besides, there was a treaty between your father and my father. So why don't you break your treaty with the king of Israel, with Baasha, and attack him so that he will get off my back? which he does, the king of Damascus. And the significant sentence after that is, and Ben-Hadad sent the officers of his army and attacked Eion, Dan, and Abel Beit Macha. In other words, the very city where the inscription was found is mentioned as one of the cities that he attacked. So my guess would be that it's the king of Damascus or one of his officers who set this victory stela at Dan after the successful attack against the king of Israel.
Is this inscription then confirmation of the biblical story?
I don't like the word confirmation because I never doubted the story in the Bible. And we do not need archaeological investigation or archaeological research to confirm what is written in the Bible. It so happens you have a historical record in the Bible. Now you have a historical record in archaeology. I put the two together. One complements. I tell you what, maybe instead of the word that used, we'll say complements the story of the biblical account.
Israeli archaeologist Avraham Biran in 1993 in an Israel Broadcasting interview with Helga Abraham talking about the discovery of the Tel Dan Stela with a House of David inscription, one of the most important discoveries in biblical archaeology since we began doing this radio program almost 40 years ago. It was Professor Biran's associate, Gila Cook, who made the actual discovery, aided by the slanting rays of the late afternoon sun in the plaza just outside the Iron Age gate at Tel Dan. To this day, it is the earliest attestation of a biblical person outside of the Bible, this inscription which refers to the biblical King David. For the past couple of months, we've been digging back into our archives to pull out some of the programs that have defined this radio program over its 40-year history, which will be officially marked next February. If you're a regular listener to the Book of the Spade, please drop me a note and let me know you're out there. I do this program mainly because it brings me a lot of personal enjoyment, and also because I believe it's important for people to understand the historical context of the biblical story in order to better understand the Bible. I have no idea how many people are listening or where they're located, so please send me an email. Send it to radioscribe@gmail.com. Let me know where you're listening. If you'd like to tell me what you appreciate about the Book of the Spade or some of the favorite programs you remember, that would also be appreciated. Again, that email address is radioscribe@gmail.com. Well, we're still using the same theme music we started with 40 years ago, but we have made some innovations along the way. That includes a website at radioscribe.com. And there you'll find other resources, including some of the best videos about new discoveries in biblical archaeology. You can also find information about our quarterly Biblical Archaeology News magazine, Artifacts. An Artifacts subscription is another great way to keep up with the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Our website is radioscribe.com, and our email address to drop us a note, radioscribe@gmail.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Thanks for tuning in. Join us again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book in the Spade.
The Book in the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.